I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. There is a first time for everything, and Angela M. Carter is the first Sparkian guest ever suggested through multiple tweets. And who am I to argue with the Twitterverse? Angela's a poet. On Amazon, her book, Memory Chews a Woman's Body, is described as a poetic memoir, one woman's harrowing yet hopeful story of harm and healing. Well, Angela came in to talk with me, and she started off by telling me that she grew up in a tiny, tiny town in Southside, Virginia.
My accent gets a lot of recognition around these parts. I am from the North Carolina border, so I am from Virginia, but it's Southside, Virginia, and it's from Alberta, Brunswick County, the home of Brunswick stew, which I love. And I grew up in a small town. I believe at the time it was 240-something people when I was growing up, and we had an ABC store, a post office, and a laundromat. And we always used to joke around that you went out drinking, and then the next morning you had to wash your clothes, and then you wrote to people to tell them about how the night went.
In my little town, I grew up believing God keeps his eye on us all.
Angela's parents divorced when she was young, and she was living with her mother when her abuse by a non-family member began. Angela remains fuzzy about the details.
I can just remember feeling low, insecure, wondering what was wrong with me from as young as 10 years old.
Is that when the abuse started?
I believe so. I don't know the exact age, but it certainly was around then. And there were transformations that took place that weren't positive ones. For example, I would wear sweaters in the summertime. And people, of course, would call me weird, and I'd be bullied because of that. But I was doing the best that I could do to cope. You know, I've been abused by more than one person.
Good grief.
And which is fairly common. I even have a poem. It's called Hotel Song. And at the bottom it says, "When I breathe, I carry the scent of prey." I truly believe that it was the silence afterwards, once I told people, that changed me negatively. It made me a very different person.
Wait a minute, let me be sure I understand. You mean you would tell someone and you just wouldn't get any response?
Right, or the response that I did receive would not be what I would expect, or there wouldn't be anything that
nobody would come. Said, "I'll take care of you,
no.
I'll keep you safe."
No.
Did that include your parents and social services?
Well, children are smarter than you think. Even as a child being interviewed by social services, I remember going to a counselor and they show you this diagram and they give you these questions. And I was smart enough to know what to say. And in fact, there's a poem, in here called Social Worker. And it shows what she's asking. And in parentheses, it's what I'm actually thinking versus what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And children are a lot smarter because we want the love and acceptance, and we're limited to the people that we're born to. I would have to say the hardest point in my life was when I did actually tell someone, and I felt that something would change, but it didn't.
Who'd you tell?
The first person I told, I believe, was my sister, which she did tell my mother. And then my mother had a talk with me. And we ended up at a payphone calling this person, and I just remember seeing trucks and cars go by and just thinking they all know. They know it's me. And that was a moment I can never forget. So even when I hear a lot of traffic will trigger, those feelings. And nothing was ever done. I'm not so sure that it was believed. Because, again, people who abuse, they're very cunning at what they do and convincing. That's how they get away with it.
And you're a kid.
Right.
How did you get away from that tiny town and that horrible situation?
Well, I'll start off by saying I don't think a lot of people were aware of anything other than I was strange. for most of my life. I mean, so me picking up and leaving, and, you know, I got a scholarship at my community college to study abroad for a summer. That was what it was meant to be. And I said, you know what? See ya. And
where were you going?
Bath, England.
Okay.
So I got there and I studied and I had a great old time and I saw bands play and I saw art I had never seen. I saw a world I had never even known existed, and I just decided to stay for quite a few years.
Did you feel safe over there?
I did. It was a freeing feeling. It was scary at times. I felt safe because I didn't have my memories of who I was for anybody there to say, this is what she normally is like. So I could be whoever I wanted to be. And it turned out that who I was and who I am is actually pretty damn awesome. I like that I genuinely care. I like that I'm artistic. And I like that I can make people laugh. And I like the confidence. I'm making up for, you know, everything in the past. Yeah, I'm just loving life.
Okay, you're a poet?
Mm-hmm.
When did this start?
I was a poet before I knew what a poet was.
Meaning what?
I can remember having a pencil and writing poetry lines on lampshades. I would hide poetry in the house because it just wasn't seen as, you know, a normal thing to do. The closest thing I'd had to poetry at that point were Bibles. And then I had some teachers that, you know, saw that it was the way that I was coping with things. I don't know that I'd be here if I didn't have poetry. It was my friend. It is my friend.
I asked Angela Carter to give us the background of her poem, Tattoo, and then read it.
You know, I am a businesswoman, and I wear suits most of the time, but tattoos for me are very important, and they are a sense of freedom. They're a choice for me, and I like that. I haven't had many choices in the first half of my life, so I make a lot now, and one of those choices was to get tattoos. Tattoo. My first tattoo at 18 was a rebellion, meaning that I wanted to remember rebellion. My second was a confirmation of my voice. The third was an expression that I will forever be free, while realizing freedom is not always an offered choice. It is those things that even ink can't show, lines that would sway like a crazy hand if I described it. So now I have learned that it is those things I tried to prove through my skin, seeping into my own bones. Even the lost memories of aging can't misplace its effect or make it move.
It was written on her heart, written on her empty heart.
There's a link to Angela Carter reading another of her poems on the Spark page at WMRA.org.